Reading this morning will be coming from Psalms chapter 23. Psalms chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
You know, it's something about your hands. Take, for an example, I was sitting there thinking that John Henry and Norris, either one of them get ready to shake your hand, you've got to dig a little deeper. Because you know when they're coming, they bring in a strong, firm handshake. So you know it's coming, so you bear down on them. Fell off a building one time. I think it scared Keith as much as it did me. He come over there, if I remember correctly, I don't know, I'm sure he stuck his hand down to help me up. I remember him saying, lay there, make sure you're okay, but finally Keith stuck his hand down, took my hand and pulled me up. My two grandkids, we can be walking. Not long till they're reaching and grabbing a hold of my finger. They grab a hold of that finger on each hand and they like to hold my hand while we're walking. Something about your hands. Think back. We went to a wedding yesterday. We got some that's engaged, about to be married, some thinking about getting married, and some been married 30, 40 years. Think about the first time you reached out to grab that special someone's hand. A little nerve-wracking, wasn't it? You didn't know if she was going to pull back or not. You didn't know what she was going to think the first time you reached out and grabbed her hand or his hand. What are they going to think about it? Why is that? It's something about your hands. We greet with a handshake. We hold on to each other with our hands to show our love for each other. We show compassion with our hands. We show help with our hands. We show love with our hands. I've held several people's hands. I can think of at least three people that I held their hand when they left this earth. And I remember one man in particular. The wife called and I got to the hospital before they died and she wanted me to hold her hand and her husband's hand. And it took a while, but I was holding his hand when he died. I remember when Jay died. My promise to him was, I will hold your hand until the Lord takes your hand from me. It's something about your hand. Appreciate Keith so much this morning for leading the songs that he did, because it's talking about us holding our hand and the Lord holding our hand. This morning, for just a few minutes, I want you to think about the Lord taking your hand. You know, I think it's estimated that 1 million people take their own life each year. That's globally. That's everywhere. I think it's like 31 or 35,000, I believe, in the United States. But if you go back to the million, that's someone taking their life less than one every minute. Someone's taking their own life. You know what we need? We need love. We need compassion. The very thing I started talking about is holding someone's hand and recognizing the love, the handshake, the holding of someone's hand. We need that in our life. We need the Lord in our life. We need the Lord's hand in our life. And it's more than just holding my hand. It's more that I need from God than just to say, Lord, hold my hand. I need the Lord to guide me. Jacob read for us the 23rd Psalm. What a comforting psalm that is when we think about what the Lord is telling us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Think about what that means to us as Christians in class. And Dale done an outstanding job this morning talking about Psalms. What does Psalms do for us? Well, Psalms encourages me. It helps us to know what the Lord God really cares and loves and what He does for me. I shall not want. He's going to be with me all the days while I'm on this earth. God's going to be with me. He's going to guide me. He's going to direct me. Why? Because He's my shepherd. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's what the scripture says. Why? He's with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. These things are with me as I travel through this earth, no matter what happens, as long as I have the Lord's hand in my life. So this morning, do you have the Lord's hand in your life? How much love do you have for God? We know how much love God has for us because God loves us so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins so that we can have hope of eternal life. John chapter 3, verses 16 and verse 17. He wants us to be saved, and what He's telling us is to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. This is where I come as a person. If I need help, I come to Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is there for each one of you this morning. He is standing there waiting for you today. He died for every one of us. Now, there are some of us that take advantage of that sacrifice that He made, and we become Christians. We're a child of God. We've been washed through the blood of Jesus, and we're living that life, and we have been forgiven of our sins, and we're walking in the light, and we're hopefully being an encouragement to other people. But it may be that some here has never come to Jesus. You know, there are people struggling today. Just this last week, I got included in a conversation about someone who had just taken their own life. Took their own life. We never know what is going to direct our steps each day or what's going to lead us or guide us each day. What we're going to face is what I'm trying to say. But we know one thing as Christians, don't we? We know that Jesus will guide us, that He will lead us, that He will help us through those problems in life, and that even if it comes to death, even when we're facing the most terrible thing in our life, and we're knowing we're nearing the end of our life, we don't have to fear then because we know that God is not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He is going to guide our steps at that point as well. You know, that's the most comforting thing I have. When I face problems in my life, when I face death and disappointment in my life, just yesterday I looked at Wendy and we were discussing some things that was going on in our life, and she said, "How do you know?" I won't give you the details. I don't want to get in trouble. But she said, "How do you know?" I said, I have faced a lot of loss in my life. I've lost a lot of people in my life. And I know that you have too. There's other people that have lost a lot of people in their life, but I've faced that in my life. And I know that what Wendy and I were talking about yesterday, I can make that statement, how do you know? Because I have faced this in my life. And the only way that I've got through it is because of God. The only way that I've got through it is because I know how much God loves me and how much He is going to continue to guide and help me in my life. So what do we do with this? If we're going to take a hold of Jesus' hand, we're going to take a hold of God's hand, and we know that He's going to lead us, and don't nobody raise your hand, but I would be curious to think, is there anybody in here that thinks God will not hold your hand while on this earth? Don't let me know right now. Let me know after. But if anybody here doubts whether God will take your hand and guide you, if you will just turn your life over to Him. So there's nothing that God wants more than each one of us to be saved. And if we'll take His hand, we will be saved. I believe that with all my heart. If we will allow God to guide us, we will be in heaven one day. So what do we do with that? We impact other people's lives. That's what we're doing. We're living as Christ would have us to live. We're letting our light shine in such a way that other people can just see Jesus, see Christ in us. We're being that example all around to those people around about us. So what do we do? You know, Jesus gives us some examples in the New Testament that I think is very important to us. You know, we talked about in class this morning, what does the Old Testament do for us? Well, the Old Testament lets us see how God is and how that God directed the children of Israel and how that the children of Israel turned their back on God and then they would come back. And we know the story. But we have so many examples and so many illustrations, even the New Testament today. Luke 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And He said to him, You have answered right. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, Who is my neighbor? We kind of try to look for things, don't we? If we don't like something well enough, we try to look for a loophole. We try to look for a way out. I got to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. That's my whole being is what He's saying. That's how I've got to love God. But Nars, He tells us to take it a step further, doesn't he? He says, not only do you love God this way, you've got to love who? Your neighbor. You've got to love your neighbor that same way. Now, folks, that's telling us as Christians how we ought to live, how we ought to love. Well, who's my neighbor? Is that two houses down? Is that where you draw that line? Is it five houses and just your next door neighbor? Who is that we're going to call our neighbor? Well, Jesus made it crystal clear. He answered and said that a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He said he fell among thieves. Bad things happened to him. And he said he was robbed, he was stripped, he was beaten, he was wounded, they departed, they left him half for dead, and by now chance a priest come by. Now you know, if you didn't know the end of this story, and I know you do, but if you didn't know the end of this story, you would think, hey, this guy's got it made now. Preacher shows up. Priest, here he comes. He's not going to go around him. He's not going to leave him. The priest comes by and he passed on the other side. Kind of disappointing, isn't it? To know that someone was down on their luck and someone come along, and likewise, he says, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, he came and looked and he passed by on the other side. Talking about a guy that had been beaten, a guy that was hurt, a guy that was about dead. But then who come by? A Samaritan. He come by. The scripture says that he took care of his wounds. He loaded him up on his animal. He carried him in. Took care of him overnight. Paid for everything. Paid the innkeeper and said, look, you take care of him. Whatever I owe you when I come back, I'm going to take care of that as well. Well, Jesus asked the question, and he said, which one of these three is neighbor? See, it gives us such an illustration, such an example for every one of us to follow. Whenever we ask questions, how should I live, how should I act, how should I be, we can go to the scripture and Jesus says, you love your neighbor just like you love God with all your being. You take care of that person. The neighbor wasn't a good Samaritan. So we take that, and as we're holding the Lord's hand, we take a hold of someone else's hand. We lead them. I know Derek's been to St. Jude, and several of y'all have been to St. Jude. Out front in St. Jude, there's a statue, a bronze or some kind of metal statue out there. And it's got kids playing. And then this kid is playing or running or jumping, whatever they're doing, they got their hands. They're holding hands. They're holding hands. A symbol of love, a symbol of unity, a symbol showing us that we can live this life and we can make it together. So as we take a hold of God's hand, we're reaching out with our other hand and we're taking someone with us. That's what Jesus is saying. The opportunity we have to be a neighbor is anybody and everybody that we run in contact with. This morning, are you a Christian? The Lord is standing there today with his hands wide open. His hands are open, reaching out, saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. God loves every one of us. The question really is, do you love God enough to take his hand? As we stand and sing the invitation song this morning, if you're not a Christian, want to be baptized. We don't have pews over here, but we've got a baptistry. We can take care of that today. If there's someone here that wants to become a Christian, don't let the day pass by without becoming a child of God. If there's someone here that needs the prayers of the church, let it be known. Come forward. Let us pray with you and for you. Let us encourage you. Let us take you by the hand. Let us help you in whatever way that we can. There's nothing more important than being in the right relationship with God. There is nothing more important than that. I'm going to say it one more time. I don't care what you've got on your mind right now. I don't care what. Daydreaming, thinking about what you're going to do this afternoon, thinking about leaving tomorrow, going to Chicago to work on fire hydrants. I don't care what you're thinking about right now. There's nothing more important than your relationship. There's nothing more important than being in the right relationship with God. So I beg you and I encourage you this morning, if you're not in the right relationship with God, come and all the things.